Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. How you doing?
Well, I can't complain. The Lord is keeping me balanced. You know what I
That's
mean?
The word. Yes, balance is everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's really very, very important, you know. Certain things happen in your day and you feel like, man, this is just an amazing thing. And then certain things happen in your day and you go, what the heck am I doing? And so, you know, you get balanced. So both things, the bitter and the sweet, go together.
Right.
It's okay
absolutely.
For both to be there. Mm-hmm. How was your week?
Good. Good. Having my grandson for my daughter, she just signed him up for child care, though, so he'll be in child care by Mondays, but I've been helping her with that. Got everything squared away today, but he won't start until Monday.
How old is he?
8 months. He just turned 8 months. It'll be his first time going to daycare. So.
And is that your first grandchild?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so the grandmother showed up, and the, you know, I got to get involved showed up, and a whole lot of things showed up. But, you know, the beautiful thing about being a grandparent is look how much wisdom, you know, you've acquired since the first litter of children and where you are now, what you can offer versus what you offered when you were first raising children. It's an amazing gift from God.
That definitely is, and that's who get all the glory, because that's the truth. Yes, that is the truth. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's so many mistakes you get to miss, you know, when you get to be a grandparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to do it all over again.
Yeah.
But right.
Exactly right.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
the kids be the guinea pigs. You know how they how they do
mm-hmm.
at the doctor. You just be, doing what you think you know.
Mm-hmm. So how are you keeping yourself busy through the week? How's your business going? What are you doing with those things?
Been working on getting some feedback on when we can do the second safe space series. So I was just giving people a chance to adjust with the first one. I already had some other journals ordered for the next event, but wanted to get the feedback from the people from the surveys of like the good date and time that, you know, works for everybody. So getting the
mm-hmm.
feedback from the first one so we can get better and better, you know?
Mm-hmm. And when you say from the first one, when did you do your first one?
I just did it on the 31st.
Ah, so it's recent.
Yes, yep. So
mm-hmm.
it was just recent. I had posted a couple pictures on social media. That's why I was posting the flyer, too. I thought I let the church know, but I do want to make them more aware in case, you know, there's something there that they can benefit from, you know, especially even starting the next one, because we did from baby to amazing. Now we're going from boy to man and girl to woman. So
that's
a good thing.
Yeah. Make sure people are aware. This is, to me, this is really the time and the place and the moment that God is calling for more deeper and more collaborative efforts in our community.
Yeah.
Because we are, I mean, every day you turn around, there's just another person that's just been annihilated from something ridiculous. And I think that's because our kids are not, they're not balanced. They don't have, you know, especially our young male children, they're not, they don't have the mentoring they need. They don't have someone that's pouring into them how to, you know, how not to be so emotional,
mm-hmm.
and how to function in a world that seems to be sort of
mm-hmm.
kind of against them. And to
right.
a degree, it is against them. You know, it just really is, especially if you look at what's going on. Hey, brother Dewan, how are you?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Awesome.
Hey, brother.
Awesome.
That's good. That's good.
And so it really is a good thing that you're doing. It's a blessed thing. And we hope and pray
I
that it takes
appreciate
off
that.
for you.
I pray so too, because I don't want people to focus on me. It's really about who's willing to show up for themselves, you know, because it's for the people, you know.
That's it, it's for the people.
Yeah,
Praise the
that's
Lord.
it. It's
You
me,
ended it right
yes.
there. It's for the people. Praise the Lord. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Brother Dewan, how's your week going?
Pretty swell, Pastor. Yeah. Pretty good, pretty good, pretty
Good.
good. Yeah, yes.
Anything exciting?
No, none too abstract, but I see I'm trying to be more open, more talkative. Yeah,
You become
talking
more talkative?
to people. Yep. Yes.
What does that mean? Hey, Sister Johnson.
Hello,
I see
how are
Sister
you?
Robertson. Fresh,
How
wonderful.
are you?
Go ahead,
Hello,
Duane. I'm sorry. Yeah, what do you mean by you become more talkative? What does that mean?
More talkative for my peers and stuff, trying to help them out. Yep.
In what way?
In what way? Tell them it'll be all right and it'll be okay. Yep. I got your
You're
back.
encouraging people.
Yeah, I am, Pastor.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
yes.
Yeah, that's awesome, Dewan. God bless you
Thank
for
you.
that. And
Thank you.
yeah, don't shy away from it. It's a good thing. We need encouragement in this time, day and era. Sister Tina Johnson Roberson. How's your week?
Hello, hello. How y'all doing today? Hello.
Bless. Yep. How are you?
That's good. That's good. Oh, I'm blessed. Thank you so
Good.
very much. I got my
Very
grandbaby in my arm for a few minutes because I'm waiting on the
good.
phone.
You got the grandbaby too, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. That's two grandbabies conversations that's come up tonight. So
Oh,
tell us
really?
about your week. Sister Hawanda is working with her daughter to help out with the grandbaby as well.
That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right.
That's good.
Yes.
So how's your week going? Any has God done anything that you want to share?
Yes, God has been amazing to me. I think I'm on the right track with my husband. We have been communicating awesomely. My doctor
Hallelujah.
right, and I just feel really good about things. Like, it is amazing. And thank God.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Say that again.
I said, I want to thank God. Thank God. God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, do you want to share some testimonial backdrop to that? Because I don't think everybody
Yeah.
quite gets that portion.
Sure.
Right?
So, me and my husband, our marriage been a little rocky lately. So I called the pastor, and the pastor, me and him, has been praying, and we have been talking about me and my husband going to counseling and things like that. And I think that prayer works, because at first we was unable to communicate without yelling and screaming at each other. And now things have actually turned around for the best. For the yeah, feeling good. And as for my doctor's appointment, I'm just making sure that my heart is okay with my pacemaker. And I have a thyroid that is in the way of my airways. But with the grace of God, hopefully I don't have to have a surgery. So they're doing a second CT scan tomorrow to see where is the thyroid at and how big is it tomorrow.
group.
Yeah, we want to enter into prayer for that. The part that you left out, Itina.
Yes.
We also selected a day to have to fast.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Bible says
yes.
that some things only come out by fasting and prayer.
That's right.
And Sister Robeson and I, who there had been no communication between her and her husband for a period of time. And we said, we just petitioned God and took it before the throne of grace and mercy. And we did what the Bible says we should do. We fasted and we prayed. And amen, listen at that testimony.
That's right. Thank you. We definitely
God is good.
Fast and do work. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. You got to know what the tools are that God has given us in the Bible. And you have to use the tools. The tools work.
Mm-hmm.
They really do work. The greatest tool that we have is the tool of faith. And if we learn how to use that tool properly, it really does move mountains. It really can move mountains for us, but we have to use the tools. We have to not talk about them. We have to employ them. Put them to work. Glory to God. So it is 5:43. We're going to get started with Bible study. Praise the Lord. And we are going to read. I don't care how many people are here or how many people are not. Sometimes smaller is greater.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes greater is smaller. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so I'm going to ask our very own Sister Hawanda if she would be kind enough to open us up in prayer. And then we're going to go to the book of Romans. And we're going to continue on with our reading.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up, we magnify you, hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise that is due unto you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, you are highly exalted, hallelujah. Thank you for being King of Kings, hallelujah. Thank you for being the lily of the valley, hallelujah. Thank you for being the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. We invite you into this Bible study. Hallelujah. We submit our whole will unto you and ask that you come in like a mighty rushing flood and that you have your way on today. Hallelujah. Open our ears that we get a keen spirit of understanding. Hallelujah. Let it fall fresh on us. Hallelujah. Let the word cleanse us. Let the word purge us. Let the word wash us. Hallelujah. Let the word renew us and restore us on today. Hallelujah.
Yes,
let the word send a fresh anointing like never before. Hallelujah. That it stirs us up in the mighty name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. That we pour out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we begin to pour out. Hallelujah. Like my brother Dewan said, on his friends and his peers, hallelujah. Give us a word on today, hallelujah, that will set the captives free, hallelujah. That will regulate the mind, hallelujah. That will make the lame, hallelujah, walk, hallelujah. That will make blind eyes see on today, hallelujah. We just ask that your will be done, hallelujah. We don't want to hear from us, hallelujah. We put our flesh under subjection on today, hallelujah. That we walk in the spirit and that we hear in the spirit on today, hallelujah. We pray for any distractions, hallelujah, that they be removed right now, hallelujah. Anybody that's come here to spectate, hallelujah, and not become a doer of your word. Today we pray that we not be hearers of your word, but we are become doers of your word. Hallelujah.
Yes,
allow
God.
Your light to shine through us on today. Hallelujah. We just want to say we want more of you and less of us. We teach us your ways. Hallelujah. And not the ways of the world. Hallelujah. We rebuke the spirit of fear right now. We rebuke the spirit of anger.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let down and disappointment. Hallelujah. We tell it to flee right now. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Yahshua, hallelujah. And we know that you came to give us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So I speak over the minds of your people right now, that we be not conformed to this world, that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds on today. So we pray right now that you renew our minds, hallelujah, that we speak life to every dead situation. Hallelujah, that we believe only your report, hallelujah, in this season. So we speak life and that more abundantly, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, hallelujah. And our desire is to do the greater works that you already said that we should do in this season.
God.
So we speak life. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We speak transformation. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. Mm-hmm. And we speak breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We pray for those who are on their way and those who can't make it into this Bible study. We intercede on their behalf in the mighty name of Yahshua. We stand in the gap on today. Hallelujah. For our sisters and our brothers, we just ask that you just come in like a mighty rushing flood. We open our heart and our mind. And we confess that we are ready for what you have to say. Allow it to fall on good ground on today in the mighty name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. That we may grow and grow and grow. Hallelujah. And I thank you that you will be the one to water the seed that's going to be planted on today. Hallelujah. That many souls will be affected by the word because we won't stop right here at Bible study. We're going to tell somebody about what we have. Fellowship about them today. Hallelujah. And they're going to tell somebody about what we told them. Hallelujah. And I thank you that it's already done, that victory is already done. Hallelujah. Yes. And that minds are already being changed and transformed, and that healing is already taking place. Hallelujah. So I thank you for anointing the word, and that we will feel your power as you flow through the man of Yah on today. Hallelujah. Touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, because we said that the oil flows from the head down. Hallelujah. So touch his entire family, and then touch his church family. Touch us as an individual and as a collective for your glory on today. And we just say thank you for what you are about to do. Hallelujah. We give you a right now praise because it's already done in Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are going to be reading. Thank you, Sister Hawanda. That the Holy Ghost called that one.
Hallelujah. That's who gets the glory.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Brother Waller, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
God bless.
Amen.
Sorry I'm late.
God bless. Say it again.
I said, God bless. I'm sorry I'm late. It sounds like I just missed. Sounds like I just missed something.
Just some oil, brother. That's some oil. Oil was flowing. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. I think we also have Sister Deborah.
Hallelujah. How are you, Pastor Mara?
I am wonderful, my sister, and grateful and thankful to hear your voice.
Hallelujah. Good. It's good to hear your voice, too. And everybody,
yes, ma'am.
New Covenant family, it's a joy to hear everybody's voice.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're in the book of Romans family.
Uh-huh.
Yep, book of Romans. We're in the fourth chapter this week.
Okay.
And we have done a really, really good job of going through the book of Acts. We're now in the book of Romans. We're four chapters in, and we've got probably about 12 chapters to go. And again, we're doing this because the word of God is as the Bible says, is powerful as a double-edged sword, cutting asunder both soul and spirit. And I want to talk about that for a minute before we read. Cutting asunder both soul and spirit. And I want us to recognize tonight, your spirit is way smarter than your soul.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost is way smarter than our human host. And it's so important that we understand how to use faith, because the spirit knows what faith is because it was created by the one who created faith. The spirit was created. That's why he said, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb, because he created you before you were ever procreated. And it's important to know that if you understand that you're a spirit being first, you'll start projecting faith into places that you've been trying to figure out some things that are not figure outable for you, but your spirit knows how to figure it out. Trust the Lord. Let the Lord let the word do it. And because the more word we have in us, the more the word can speak to you in whatever circumstance you're in. But if we don't know the word, then what happens is we have to rely on our soulish, carnal thinking. But the more you know the word, the more word is going to show up. When a circumstance shows up in your life, you're going to hear the Spirit speak. Glory to God. And when the Spirit speaks, when the Spirit speaks, it makes demons tremble. It makes demons flee. It goes against everything that Satan is using people to try to do against you. Because no matter what people we're around, no matter who we hang out with, no matter who counsels us, Satan has opportunity to use them to say some things that will throw you completely off track. It'll have you depressed. It'll have you filled with anxiety. It'll have you filled with frustration. But Satan is doing it, not the people, because Satan puts it in their minds to say the things that undermine who you are, from their mind to your undermining. And God is saying, but the word will override the undermining. Glory to God. So that's why we're reading through the Bible and not pieces of the Bible. Paul made this statement in one of the scriptures. He said, they know in part because they only hear in part. Meaning, there's certain things that we have inside of us because we've been preached to, we've been ministered to, certain things we've read in the Bible, but we only have a part. When we have all, oh glory, then we begin to know all, and God begins to utilize that word to teach us how to deal with every circumstance, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial issues, whatever those issues are. There's a word in this Bible that God has given to teach you to overcome that issue, because the issue is coming from the world, not from God. Let me say that again. Issue comes from out of the world, which Satan is the prince of this world. God is a creator, but Satan is the prince of it. And so if it's coming from out of the world and it's a problem, it's because Satan is behind it, and we need to have the scriptural reference and the scriptural wisdom to know how to come against whatever Satan throws at you. Come against that mess, right? And a lot of times we're waiting on God to make a move, and really when we get the word in us properly, you realize God is really waiting on you to make the move, because he said, what will you bind in the earth? He didn't say what I bind. He said, whatsoever you bind in the earth, I'm going to bind it from heaven. Whatsoever you loose in the earth, I'm loosing it from heaven. And so if I don't know how to loose some stuff, I'm going to end up bound by some stuff. And God sent you on this planet not to be bound, but to loose. In the name of Jesus. Romans, the fourth chapter. We're starting in the first verse. And this is going to be a scripture that talks, the fourth chapter talks about something that we all kind of have to deal with. It's going to talk about what we just kind of just went over. It's going to talk about how Abraham found out the difference between his flesh and his spirit. His flesh and his spirit. Who wants to read? And I want everybody to be ready to read. We need to get engaged. Let's go. Let's go.
So my book is different.
Okay, that's all right. I'll read after you if we need to. If the interpretation in the book, and how many of you know that the interpretation is exactly that? It's an interpretation. It is not always a revelation.
Amen.
And so the reason it becomes an interpretation is because some people were reading and said, oh, you know what, we need to make this easier for people. So they went and looked up words according to the Hebrew or the Greek, and they changed the words according to what we speak, and they made it more English sounding. But a lot of times when you read it in the old, the revelation becomes new. And then sometimes when you read it in the new, you don't get a revelation of the old. So it's important to have a balance and study. Right, so go ahead and read.
Okay, so Abraham justified by faith. It's chapter 4. It says, again, will we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found.
Mm-hmm.
It is Abraham was justified by works. He has something to boast about, but not before God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does, you want me to stop?
I'll go one more. Then we'll discuss it. I'll reread it in the King James.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But to the one who does the work, does not believe on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is for the righteousness.
Amen. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to read it now in the King James. And he starts off by saying, what should we say then? We should say that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to his flesh. This is what he found. If Abraham was justified by the works that he did, he had a whole lot to glory about, but not before God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as his righteousness. And so in order to kind of get that, you got to go backwards and recognize Jesus had not been sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no blood covering for righteousness. Got it? No blood was shed. Therefore, his faith was the thing that God noted and took. Well, what part of his faith? How do you say that? I mean, was it? What part of his faith was the most important part? And they're going to attribute his righteousness not to the point where he took Isaac and put him on an altar to be sacrificed, because God told him to do that. The first thing God told him was, get away from your family and go out to the world. I got a land for you. I'm getting ready to make you a father of many nations. It doesn't talk about that. What is it talking about then? Can anybody guess where he's going with this? The one thing that God says, it's that act, that specific act, that I'm counting unto Abraham as righteousness. Anybody want to take a shot at it?
You said act, not the belief.
Say it again?
You said
which act? What thing did Abraham do that God says, I'm counting this as righteousness for Abraham? And I went back, because the first thing that God told Abraham to do when he first spoke to Abraham was, get away from your people. I want you to go out, right? I'm getting ready to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to send you out to a land that you're going to end up
his
claiming.
Obedience.
Was it
and his work.
Okay. His obedience and his work.
His belief. Faith and his obedience.
To what? To the first thing that God told him, which is go out, leave your family, leave everybody behind, go on out into the world. I got a plan for you. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Or we're talking about the part. Go ahead, Duarte.
Go leave your family, leave everybody behind, and have faith in God, and whatever he says goes. It'll be hard. It'll be hard for me to do it, but he got faith in the Lord and everything. And he knows he's able to do it or not.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Anybody else? All right,
so
let's keep reading it. Go ahead.
Who
go ahead,
wants to read?
Spoke.
Yeah, I want you to continue to read, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now it's talking about David celebrating the mm-hmm. same truth. Just as David mm-hmm. also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin.
Stay right there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Hello. So we just asked the first question is, so what is God, what is the writer Paul speaking about when he's talking about Abraham's act that caused God to see him as righteous? And we said obedience. Amen. Mm-hmm. Obedience is part of it.
Yes.
But there's a specific act that they're talking about, that this particular act has something to do with the first commandment that God gave to Abraham that didn't show up for 30 more years. The first thing that God said that didn't show up for 30 more years, and I'm going to tell you the first thing that God said to him, you go out because I'm going to make you a father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you to a land that I'm going to allow you to possess.
Mm-hmm.
And the land is going to be a blessing because Abraham is becoming, at this mm-hmm. point where God called him from out amongst his people, Abraham is becoming the lineage of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming this because God mm-hmm. is calling him into it. But now watch what it says. Let me read this part that she just went over. And it's saying how, you know, this faith was so important, this act was so important that it was counted for righteousness, verse 5. Then it says, but even just like David described, the blessedness, how blessed a man can be unto whom God imputed mm-hmm. righteousness, mm-hmm. and they didn't do anything to earn it. Righteousness mm-hmm. without works. Right? You know how the Bible sounds like it's contradictive because the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Yes.
Doesn't it say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yet over here it's saying that you don't have to do any work
mm-hmm.
in order to establish righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That when you do this work, if you're doing the work to establish righteousness, he's going to tell us that the righteousness is not coming from grace, it's coming from a debt.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you owe something. And so you're moving based on how wrong you've been rather than how righteous you've become.
Mm-hmm.
Even as David also described, verse 6, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed, to the person that God imputed. And the word imputed is a very important word here. Because the word imputed means two things. I'm going to read you the exact definition of it so that I don't get this messed up in any form or fashion. Ready for it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I hope and pray that you all look it up. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
All right, here we go. Let me give it to you. Listen to it good. The word imputed means a responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or an opportunity. Responsibility or an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So to impute something on somebody means they have a responsibility, but if they don't take the opportunity, they're hurting themselves. It's both words.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody getting that? The responsibility
mm-hmm.
is just an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So now let's keep reading. It says, and God imputed. So he took the responsibility and turned it into an opportunity, righteousness without works.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are already covered.
That's right.
And don't forget that Jesus is not yet crucified.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So because mm-hmm. Jesus is not yet crucified, there is no blood covering for the sin, only the righteousness of faith existed.
Mm-hmm.
do what God says or don't. It's your responsibility, but it's also an opportunity. And if you don't follow the responsibility, you never walk into the opportunity.
Amen.
Yes. You receiving that?
Yes.
And that principle applies to us even today, though we have the blood covering. Because what God is asking us to do as believers and with faith is both a responsibility and an opportunity. And if I don't do the responsibility, the opportunity is never here. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going. Any questions on that so far?
That's right.
All right. Now, verse 8 is going to blow your mind. Good evening, Sister Evangelist Betty.
Good evening.
Hey, Betty.
Hey.
Hello. We're in Romans, the fourth chapter.
You're where?
Romans, the fourth chapter.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Where you say you are?
Romans 4.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to talk about verse 8.
Okay.
Watch what this says.
So Abraham. Okay.
Verse 8.
Yeah. Is it Abraham justified before circumcision? Right?
No. You're in 4:8. You're reading a title.
Right. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It should say, is this blessing only for circumcised then?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it also for the uncircumcised? Mm-hmm. For we say faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. And what? Okay.
Go back to verse 8. Verse 8.
Okay, blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin.
What did it just say?
Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So
a person who committed sin is still blessed?
He's saying, watch what I'm getting ready to tell you, and I hope you receive this.
Mm.
He's saying some of you have been called. The reason that you're still alive is because he never imputed your sin to you.
Mm.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm. He never held a sin against you. He held you until you came into the kingdom. The sin should have killed you, just like it does with other folks. Some folks with guns, they were running down the street on your block shooting, and somebody else got killed and the bullet missed you. He's saying your sin was not it. Oh my God. The car accident that should have killed you.
Yes, Lord.
Take you out. Why? Because your sin had not been imputed. He didn't make you pay for it.
Okay.
And they begin to realize this. Now watch, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Abraham for a moment. If you know who Abraham is, you know that yes, Abraham was obedient.
Amen.
When the Lord told him to leave, he left. That was his obedience. But now watch his disobedience. When he left when the Lord called him to be a prophet. He goes into the land of Canaan, and as soon as he finds out there's a famine, he exits the land of Canaan and goes into Egypt. The minute he gets into Egypt, he recognizes the beauty of Sarah, his wife, and he knows that Pharaoh has a lust issue. And so he turns to his wife and says, tell the man you're my sister and not my wife.
Mm-hmm.
He moves out of his position as a man of God. And as a prophet of God, he first didn't realize that God had given him power over the famine. Somebody help me with this.
Hallelujah.
Here's what I'm saying. The fact that God has kept you, some of us are missing blessings because we're not speaking to the issue. We're just trying to hide from the issue. And we're over here going somewhere left or right, north or south,
And we never stood still to say, I'm going to bind up the issue.
Come on.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Yes.
Because if he called you, right. He called you with power in you, and most of us don't exercise the power he gave us. We walk in the carnal because we think the mind is smarter than the spirit. It's, oh,
amen.
God. And because we believe that our flesh is the thing that is important, we stop focusing on why in the world did he call me? Of all the people on the planet, some of the worst of the worst, some folks that have been through hell and high water, and he called me out of this mess. And when he called me, I'm still thinking it's about my carnality rather than my spirit. Because your spirit is so much smarter than you are. He's waiting for us to exercise in the spirit the things that he's given us through the commandments, so we begin to speak to circumstances and watch them change. Anybody get it?
Amen.
So he's trying to get us to understand. That's why he starts with, what shall we say about Abraham, our father? What did he learn about his flesh? What did he find out? He found out that his flesh meant nothing, but his faith and the spirit meant everything. We're going to find out what that one specific thing that he did that was making God say that particular move counted him as righteousness for the rest of life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is good.
Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, let's talk about verse 9. So it said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not even impute. He ain't going to even put the responsibility on you because you had issues with the opportunity. In other words, he knows some of us have been what we were because we were oppressed into it. He knows that some of us have gone through what we've gone through because we were in poverty and we were trying to get out. You know, and he never imputed, he never put the responsibility of the sin until the opportunity of salvation.
Come on.
Right.
Are we listening? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And then he goes on to verse 9 and says, well, does this type of a blessing, this blessedness, thereupon is it for the saved only? The circumcision only? The covenant bearer only? Or is it upon the people that were under the covenant? Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, God knew you way before you came in and accepted Christ. The promise on your life was there before, oh God, was there way before you came into the kingdom.
Yes.
The glory
yes.
and your destiny had been marked and stated and status quo set by God way before. Or you ever walk through the door of anybody's church.
Yes, Lord.
Abraham was called before he entered into the covenant. You get it? Before the covenant, he had already called them. The covenant hadn't even been established yet. The covenant doesn't come along until he has Ishmael. 13 years after he has Ishmael through his wife's servant Hagar, God calls him and says, Abraham, I now need to put you in the covenant relationship. 13 years before that, 20 years before, from the point that he called him to the point that he introduces the covenant to Abraham, Abraham's footsteps were still being walked out, though he made the mistakes that he made. Oh, glory to God. So when he could have been the prophet and spoke to the famine in the land, he turned into a pimp and put his woman in somebody else's house.
Flesh in the spirit. Come on.
Put his woman in somebody's house and said, baby, go get everything they got. Just don't tell him you're my wife. Until God spoke to Pharaoh and said, brother, you better not touch her. She's under covenant. And that's why some of us haven't been touched.
Wow.
Because the covenant was on you long before you were in the covenant.
Amen.
Help us.
Hallelujah. Are we ready to keep reading? Any questions?
Yes.
Let's keep reading. Go ahead and finish up verse 9 and go on to verse 10, please.
Okay. So verse 9, is this blessing only for the circumcised then?
The covenant
or
blessing.
Is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. In what way then was it credited while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? It was not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised.
When was
it? When he was uncircumcised. Yes.
The credit wasn't given to him because while he was under the circumcision and the covenant with God, he was credited with his faith before. Some of you all knew God way before you came in and accepted Christ. Some of you, I can remember going back in my life and saying to people, oh, man, if it ain't God, I don't want it. And I wasn't saved at all. But I had the consciousness of God. And that consciousness was a faith in him that I didn't even understand was faith. I just thought I was talking kind of clever to people because there were certain things they wanted to do I didn't want to do. And I'd tell them those certain things. And I'd say, hey, no, if you ain't God, you don't get to tell me on it, right? Some people think I can say you ain't my mom or my daddy. I was one of them people that said you ain't God.
Come on.
So there was a relationship there before the relationship was there. Anybody getting it?
Come on.
Hallelujah. Let's keep going. So Abraham is called before the circumcision, 20 years before he ever walks into the covenant relationship with God. God is already speaking into his life.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Verse 11. And then what happened?
Okay. And he received the sign of circumcision as seal of his righteousness that he had by faith. While still uncircumcised, this was to make him the father of all who believe, but are not circumcised. So that righteousness may be credited to them also. And he became the father of circumcised who are not only circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham had while he was uncircumcised. So they followed him, even though he wasn't circumcised, he still has faith in the Lord, and they followed him, and they also received righteousness.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody else want to tackle that too? You're absolutely right, but it's more deeper. It'll take you deeper. He's saying that this becomes a principle. And there's a lot of folk that ain't in church. And there is a covenant relationship with some folks. There's a lot of folk that's not in church. And we think because they're unchurched, it ain't God moving them. He's saying this principle is now applying to any man and every woman who will move by faith, whether they're in anybody's church or not. It became a principle. So he becomes the father of those who walk by faith, even though they're not in a covenant relationship. Get it?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right?
That's what kept you.
Hallelujah.
That's what kept you before you got saved. Your little bit of thought and faith that there's a God someplace. I know he's out there, and I know what I'm going through is unjust.
Yes.
This is not right for me. I don't want this life, so forth and so on. It was that faith that fell up under the covenant of Abraham that God kept you.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God kept us. All right? Doing good?
Yes.
Amen. Let's go to verse 11 now. Verse 12?
You know, verse 13.
Watch this.
For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would inherit the world.
What say, not again. Say that again.
It says,
say that again.
For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would inherit the world.
Okay, now
was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made empty and the promise is null.
It's of none effect.
Amen.
I hear you, Tavon. You hear it, brother. You're hearing it.
Amen.
For they which are of the law, all them self-righteous folk, are the real heirs, then faith has no point.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Come on.
And the promise is now of no effect.
That's right.
Amen. Faith is the point. Mm-hmm. History is not the point. Religion is not the point. Denomination is not the point. Faith is
amen.
The point.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got, amen, and I want to touch this so we all get it. You've got folk out there that will tell you all day long, I'm a Jehovah Witness. I'm the true child of God. Yeah, you've got folks out there saying, I'm apostolic. This is the right religion under God. You got folks out there saying, I'm Catholic. We've known God since the early 400s, 4th century. We've been in God. We know what's right. You got folks out there saying, I'm Baptist, and I know what's right. But if you know what faith is, then you become a Catho-Baptist apostolic episcopal. Yes, glory. Yeah, all the religions together equal somebody with some faith.
That's
and
right.
I'd rather have faith than anybody's religion all day long, because a religion ain't going to fix my kids. A religion ain't going to fix my problems. A religion ain't going to fix my house. A religion ain't going to fix my financial circumstances. But faith?
Yes.
Whoa. Faith?
Yeah. I get it. Yeah, I love that.
Amen. Let's keep going. Everybody all right? Praise the Lord.
Yes. That's good.
It says because the law. It says because the law produces war, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. I'm sorry. This is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace, to grantee it to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of all, of us all. As it is
written. Stop right there for a minute. Okay. Did everybody get that? Verse 16. Did you get it?
Yes.
The last sentence. Abraham, who is the father of us all.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Amen.
I'm going to let y'all marinate on that for a minute. I ain't going to say a word.
Okay.
Watch what I'm getting ready to say.
Wow.
Your sin has not been imputed unto you. God kept you while you were going through some stuff. He didn't let Satan use the sin to kill you. Then he brought you into the family and he changed your bloodline.
Yes, amen.
See, you think you still think you a Smith and a Jones and a Jackson and a Mason, and you still think you a Monroe, you still think you all that, because you still connected physically, my soul is still connected to the people I came from, but my spirit is now connected to Abraham. who is now my father, who makes me have the new name and become a new creature. Anybody get this?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
God,
yes.
I hope you get it. I can physically be part of that family. I got that bloodline. But now that I've accepted and know who I am by faith, I now have a new bloodline. So what happens when I get this new bloodline? That new bloodline gives me the ability to overcome the generational curses of the old bloodline.
Hallelujah.
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 So I don't have to be like my mama was. I don't have to be like my daddy was. I don't have to talk like him. I don't have to walk like him. I don't have to make the same mistakes anymore because the bloodline has been interrupted. It has been distributed into a whole new era and a whole new realm for me to walk in. So therefore,
my
I can
God.
Overcome all of my own personal lust that came through the bloodline. So I don't have to drink like Daddy did. I don't have to drink like Uncle Sam did. I don't have to use drugs like AT.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Because now I got a new daddy. And I know my main daddy is Jesus. I know that I know who Yahweh is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who Yahshua is. But he's saying your bloodline is now connected to the bloodline that produced the Jesus. Now hold on for a minute. Can I say that for a minute?
Yes.
If your bloodline is a bloodline that produced the Jesus, now you begin to understand why he says train up a child in the way that he should go. Because you may produce another Jesus if you understand who you are. Quit functioning out of what you think you know and start letting your spirit tell you how to function. What will come out of that thing is a whole new set of values in your whole family, and you'll break every generational curse.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Yes, Lord.
Every generational curse can now be broken. Why? Because it ain't in me no more. So that I don't have to agree with your madness no more. See, when you ever heard a child go to their mama and say, I had a baby at 16. Well, girl, you know you shouldn't be doing it. Well, you had me when you were 16. What is that speaking to you? That is Satan speaking through the child to tell you the generational curse is on.
Yes.
Now that you've been, oh, my God. Now that you've been saved, now that your generational bloodline is changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Somebody heard me. But if you keep thinking, if you don't realize that the word is a two-edged sword, you break asunder both soul and spirit to separate those two entities. So that the main entity that knows all, that is historical, that has been around since the beginning of time, that's your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Your spirit man is 100,000 times older than your fleshly man. When you start learning to trust your spirit man, it has answers that your carnal man can't
come
figure
on.
Out.
Come on. Hallelujah.
I know I'm talking to somebody.
Yes,
your carnal man can't figure out because your carnal man is moving in the natural. He's trying to do what his brain is saying. But when your spirit man gets engaged, he'll be doing things and your brain will be sitting there going, I don't know how that happened. Because your spirit man moved. Your spirit man moved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your carnal man can't even figure out how you got that solution. I don't even know how I knew what I knew, but I knew it.
The spirit man knew it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody get this?
I'm getting it.
Amen.
I got it. Hallelujah.
So you have a new bloodline. You got to accept the bloodline. When you accept the bloodline, then you begin to allow your spirit man to function because you begin to recognize you have been reconnected in a totally different way into a whole new realm of possibility that the old man couldn't do. That's why sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances we used to be nervous about, but now we are overcoming that thing and we're walking around and, man, we done mastered that thing. Why? Because your carnal man wouldn't have been able to do it, But your spirit man knew exactly what to do for you.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
And
Hallelujah.
I'm talking to somebody as the Lord is speaking. I'm talking to somebody. I'm telling you, your business is about to blow up. Why? If you let your spirit man lead your carnal man, your business will blow up. If you let your spirit man lead your carnal man, you won't spend $10,000 on Christmas no more. You'll sit back and save $10,000 before Christmas comes. So that when you're ready to move to the next thing, you'll have the cash to do it. Because your spirit man is in charge, and it'll tell you, well, don't waste no money on that mess. Your children want love. They don't want presents. They want presents, not presents. They need you, not the stuff that you can buy. 3 days after you buy it for them, it's up under the bed collecting dust. Don't that tell you that something's wrong with that process? Because it ain't keeping them forever. But your presence will overcome anybody's need for a present.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise
the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody.
Praise the Lord.
Are we getting anything?
Yes.
Yes, sir. It happened for me. It happened for me.
Glory, I receive it.
They was trying to understand what happened.
Hallelujah.
My spirit man got involved, and I loved
your spirit
it.
Man got involved, and your spirit is way smarter, way older, way more wiser than your carnal part is can ever be. This brain is limited to all the information it's gathered. It's limited. But your spirit is an unlimited being. Why do you think it's eternal?
Oh, glory.
Oh, my God.
Yes, my God.
Why do you think it's eternal? Why do you think Jesus died for it? Because it's that powerful.
That's how powerful it is.
He didn't die for your carnality, because your carnality may always have a sin nature in it. He died for your spirituality, so that your spirit would be able to come forward and do what Abraham never could do, because he had not yet died for them. Oh, glory.
Yes, we have the body for the earthly experience.
Amen. And let's keep reading. Are we good?
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
What? All right. What was that, 13?
I think we read 17.
Yes, we had 17.
Read 16 first, so we don't lose that. Mm-hmm. Don't say everybody get read 16 first and then go to 17.
No, man.
Therefore.
So this is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace, to grant it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in God's sight, in whom Abraham believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist.
In the Greek, in the Hebrew, if you go look up that word, let me read the King James Version. As it is written, I have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations, meaning all that salvation that came from Jesus, who came from Abraham. Get it? I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, before God. Even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
Who calls those things out, which be not, as though they were.
As though they were. Amen. Mm-hmm. Glory.
Right?
Hallelujah.
So the word quickeneth the dead, if you go look it up for the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic translations, he's talking about spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because
if you note, and you go back in the Old Testament, we're talking about Abraham. They weren't being raised from the dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
The deadness was the deadness that came from Adam's transgression. Remember when Satan told Adam, he said, the moment you eat from that tree, you shall surely die.
Mm-hmm. And that showed it.
He wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about a spiritual disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Sure.
But you couldn't hear your God. Mm-hmm. You're not conscious of your mm-hmm. God. You don't care what's right or wrong before God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he says he quickened the dead, he's mm-hmm. talking about us that have been into a place now that every time we move, we wonder, is this all right, God? Did you do
mm-hmm.
God, did I do the right thing today? God, did,
yes.
Because you've been quickened in your spirit, which tells you your spirit is alive, which verifies the fact, like the Bible says, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. I hope y'all got that. His spirit
Amen.
Bears witness with my spirit that we are the sons
Amen.
And daughters of God. And his spirit is bearing witness because every time I do something, I'm still checking to see, did God, is that all right with God?
Where is that all right?
That I was good in the spirit, and I didn't care what God thought about nothing I did. What I cared about was what my brain was feeling and how my emotions were reacting, and if I felt like my flesh was okay, and now I'm starting to see my spirit is alive, and now that I know that my spirit is alive, I might as well exercise some faith so I can start letting my spirit lead me.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
All right now.
Amen.
See, if I let my spirit lead me, I ain't going to argue about everything somebody wants to argue about. Because my spirit
exactly.
tell me that ain't even worth it.
That's right.
My spirit is saved, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Let them do what they want to do. I got
Amen.
You.
And then
if I really
Amen.
Understand who I am in the spirit, I'll be
yes,
able to
sir.
Go back to them folks that's undone what they did, get on my knees and say, Father, you said you were the father of vengeance. You said
yes,
you said you take care of this. Go handle
Amen.
It. I'm tired of them folks. I'm sick of
that's
that mess. I done had enough of what they're doing. Oh, my God. I wish I had some folks that understood
yes,
their spirit.
I've
seen enough of that. I done enough of that. That's gone. I got to get rid of it. Father,
yeah.
I'm calling on you. I ain't going to touch it because you told me to pray for
Hallelujah.
It. I'm praying for it.
Amen.
I'm asking you to deal with it.
Deal with it.
That's
my
God.
It's too much.
Put that in your hand
you
and handle
it,
it, Father. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Anybody
want to
hear this? Yeah.
He quickened the dead. We're quickened now.
Yeah.
My God, I'm quickened now. That's one of the reasons I can't go too long without the word of God. See, because the minute I start going too long without the word of God, I start feeling that soulish man start to well up again. He starts talking too much. He starts trying to guide and lead and direct. He starts telling me this ain't going to be all right. He starts telling me, don't you have any hope? He'll start talking to me like that. But when I get back around the word of God, if something happens and I get quickened again, it's like somebody saw two of those little, that red and black thing on my battery, and I got charged so fast that all of a sudden I'm 100% again and don't even know why it happened because the spirit is quickened.
It is quickened.
All right, so we good? We got it? Everybody get this?
Yes.
All right, we're going to ask a question in a minute. What made Abraham so special? What did he do? Was it what he did with Isaac when he took Isaac? Was it because he threw Ishmael out when his wife said, get rid of the boy? Because he's not going to be the heir to what we got coming. She told Abraham to throw out his only son at the time. Get rid of them because they're mocking me. I don't like how she looks at me. I don't like how she talks to me. Even though Sarah's the one that made the mistake and sent the woman in to Abraham to have a baby. She's now at the place where she's just completely frustrated, infuriated with the woman and saying, get her out of here. Abraham has to take Hagar, put her out in the desert with one bottle of water, not knowing whether she's going to live or die with his son.
Right.
He was obedient. But was it righteous? What is the obedience? What is the thing that God saw in Abraham, the one thing that he did that God said, this is going to be counted as righteousness for you all the time? Let's keep reading. Say it again?
His faith in God.
Keep reading. We're going to find out.
Okay.
Here comes the answer, verse 18.
Verse 18. He believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what has been spoken, so will your descendants be. He did not weaken in the faith when he considered his own body to be already dead.
This is the answer. Look at it.
Okay.
Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Go ahead.
Since
what
he was
happened?
About to, it says, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead,
since
read.
He was about to 100 years old.
100.
100. And also the deadness of Sarah's womb. Stay right there.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. He did not waver. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was in his faith and gave glory to God. Because he was
now
you can... okay.
Oh, well, go ahead. Glory. Finish that. Finish 21. Because he was fully persuaded that what?
Right. So, hold on. Because he was fully convinced that God, he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do.
Now you can stop.
Okay.
So the Bible gives us evidence that the righteousness came from the first instruction, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. It wasn't his obedience in going to Canaan. It wasn't his disobedience, blessed is the man whose sin is not imputed unto him, of going into Egypt and lying about Sarah. It wasn't his obedience about taking his son Isaac and putting him on an altar because he heard the voice of God said, bring your boy up here to sacrifice him. And that's where the ram in the bush pops up. It wasn't his obedience about putting Ishmael and Hagar out in the desert with a bottle of water. It was his obedience in believing the first promise, which was, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He took away the first son in order to let him know that your carnal act ain't going to never evolve into a spiritual breakthrough.
Oh my God. So many of us
have produced some Ishmaels in our lives because our carnal acts, we were hoping were going to break you to some spiritual greatness.
Yeah.
And some.
Yeah.
Oh,
and God is saying they're going to never be your carnal act. It's going to be a spiritual act that's calling to your life. Let me go backwards on some things for a moment, because there's many of us God has spoken to. He told you what he wanted you to do. And we are somewhere in betwixt and between believing the promise. He told you you had a business in you. He told you you were going to save some young men's souls. He told you that you were going to be this awesome woman. You were going to overcome your sickness. He told you that you could stand and walk if you needed to stand and walk. He told you that, and sometimes we're in betwixt and between believing the promise. But if you don't believe the first promise that God made to you, the rest of the promises become null and void.
Amen. That's what the word says.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
So if God told me I'm going to be a man of God, you better believe it. And I can tell you, when he speaks, it is clear. You know it. You felt it all through your spirit, man. The first time somebody, you know, let me go back over my own circumstance. I remember 25 years ago, I had 1998, I got saved in 97. I remember going into a gas station, and I saw a woman because the Lord did he alter? And I remember going in the gas station, I saw this woman, she had two children, and you could see the poverty that they were going through, and the little boy's shoes were untied, and you know how it is with the kids, and he's dragging his shoestrings, and I couldn't stand it. It bothered me. Because the first thing that was said into my spirit was, there's no man around him. That's why he's walking mm-hmm. like that. Because a man wouldn't have. And I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, is it okay if I tie your son's shoes? And she said, sure. And I bent down and I was tying the shoes. And when I got through, I stood up and the young lady looked at me and she said, are you a Muslim? Mm-hmm. I said,
oh, my goodness.
She said, then you a pastor.
Yeah.
And I said, no, ma'am. No, I'm not a pastor. And went on about my business. But by the time I got one block away from there, the Lord said, but you're becoming one.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Anybody hear me?
Hallelujah.
I'm saying to you, he spoke clearly. And it hit me so hard that I went home and I told the people in my house, I don't know for sure, but I think I'm becoming a preacher. I think I'm becoming a pastor because the message, it resonated. How many of you have resonating messages living inside of you that you have not yet been obedient to because you know God said it, but you keep thinking with your carnal self that, oh, I have to find a way to be something that God said in your spirit you already are. But you've got to trust what I did in you, and you're going to have to move forward based upon who I am, not on who you think you can be, because what you can be ain't got nothing on what the spirit is about to make you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I hope I'm talking to somebody.
Hallelujah.
Hey, glory. Mm-hmm.
Glory.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Ooh, my God.
Are you receiving this?
Yes.
Amen.
Your spirit is 5,000 times wiser than your flesh.
Amen. Yes, it is.
But we trust our flesh more than we trust our spirit. That's why we trust our feelings. That's why as soon as somebody looks at us and says, I don't think they like me. Because I'm trying to trust my flesh. When if I trusted my spirit, I'd recognize if they're looking at me a certain way, maybe God is getting ready to create a divine appointment where this person might be somebody that I'm meant to be part of their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Come on.
Then if I just walk right, if I just carry it right, if I just trust the spirit in me instead of the carnality that been leading me for too long, and I keep trusting something that always leads me wrong. Let me trust the thing that is guiding me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anybody receiving this?
I receive it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going.
Okay. So we had 22.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now it was credited to him was not written for Abraham alone,
but for who?
Also for us.
Ooh.
It will be credited to us who believe in him.
Hallelujah.
Who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead.
From the dead.
He was delivered up for our trespass and raised for our justification.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody give God a praise. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So his great act, Abraham, his great act was not all those things he did. That's why it says, if Abraham had talked about his works, he would have been very justified. He could have bragged all day long.
Yeah.
But he did all kinds of marvelous things in the flesh. But the thing that he did in the spirit was believe God to become the father of all of us.
Amen.
Yeah. And at 100 years old, when he had no desire to make a child, he had no desire for his wife. He had his body couldn't handle it. His mind wouldn't believe it, but his spirit showed up and led him. And all of a sudden, in that one moment, Abraham believed God and fathered all of the different nations.
Glory.
Glory to God.
He accounted Abraham's righteousness all the way back another 40 years back and says, because he believed me with the first thing.
Amen. Mm.
Yes, Lord.
See, I got to believe him.
Amen.
Not to be. I got to believe him for my family.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Because he promised.
Because he promised.
I got to believe him for my finances.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I got to believe him for the first thing because he promised all these things. I got to believe him. If I don't believe him, then my unbelief is now counted as unrighteousness.
Amen.
Not the works that I do. Because I can show up in church every Sunday and not believe him on Monday. I can show up and be part of the choir, but not believe him for the family. I can show up and be part of, I can preach, I can jump, shout, and hoop and holler. I can go through 3 points in a conclusion, clear as a bell, but not believe him for my healing. That is unbelief before God and this unrighteousness. And he's trying to say to us tonight, we must believe him. My family is going to be okay. My children are going to come out all right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to have a house. I'm going to have a home one day. You got to believe him. And when you believe him, I'm not just going to have a business. I'm going to have a prospering business. I'm not going to be struggling. I ain't hustling no more. I'm a business person now. I'm believing him for my degree. I'm believing him for my next thing that's going to happen. I'm believing him. That's the righteousness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That is the righteousness. I can't walk around here with my head down all the time because I don't believe. I can't be walking around here and every time something goes wrong, I go sour. I can't go around here when everything is upside down. All they see on me is a frown. I can't do that all the time. I got to believe him.
Hallelujah.
That is righteousness before God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Everybody get it?
Glory
to
God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's open for. It is an open floor right now. Anybody want to share? What are you receiving? What will you take with you tonight? It's open.
I want to know where you guys come from tonight.
We are in the Book of Romans. That's Sister Donna?
It is.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Romans chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 4.
All righty, awesome.
Yeah.
And read all the way through it. It's amazing.
All righty,
it's really amazing.
Yeah, I heard the last part of it. That was good. Mm-hmm.
And he starts talking about how. Go ahead, Sister Deborah.
I want to share that. What is it? Verse number for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
Uh-huh.
Pastor Monroe, I was in a battle, and the battle was about Medicaid did not want to give me no benefit because this company said that I didn't pay this debt. So I was like, okay, so I was questioned, did you this, did you that? And I was like, yes, I did. And they was like, okay, well, this is what we got for you. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you dig a debt ditch for me. I'm not going to accept this. I said, I tell you what, I give you one better than this. So I put up my own proposal. And when I did the checking of the math, and I'd rather say this, you do the math, they had shorted themselves out of $80. Okay, I'm going to show y'all how you going to get this money. So I put my proposal up. So the lady, she didn't come back right away and tell me anything or say anything. She waited till the weekend was over, and she waited and texted me and said, your proposal has been accepted, but you got to pay it by. You got to pay it by the 10th of February. I was hollering and screaming to the top of my lungs, thank you, Jesus. I was like, don't tell me how to pay my money.
Right, exactly. Those are the works we should focus on.
Those are the important
Yes, hallelujah.
Not saying the physical works aren't good. Of course they're good. But, you know, we can be glorified in them works by man, but God is looking for those other works that's in the invisible realm. That most don't focus.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I love y'all, family.
Before you go. Love you too, man. Before you go, just one thing for you. Before you go. Before you go, one more thing for you. And I want you to hear this and remember this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because because when you're doing works, right?
Yes.
What you're doing is earning something from God. And it becomes an act. You killed grace. He doesn't, that's why it says faith without works. He's saying
yes,
the first thing you got to get is faith, not works.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Since you're running around in the church trying to do nothing, if you ain't got no faith in the things that you do,
Amen.
You got to get faith first. Then the works begin to mean something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, brother, we love you, man. Enjoy it and bless them men.
Yeah.
Amen.
We'll do.
All right. God bless you.
Good night.
Anybody else?
God bless you.
Good night.
Yes.
Anybody else? Open floor.
I like it so that we can break generational curses.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, having faith and knowing that you got this spiritual bloodline. You can break generational curses. You don't have to be like your mother, your father, or
That's
your
right.
older sister,
yes.
or someone in your family, or someone you are close to. You can be something amazing if you got faith.
Hallelujah. And I just want to agree with her, because when our bloodline changes, we realize that we already are great because of the heat that's on the inside of us. And that's the strength of the bloodline and us receiving the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, that's when the change comes, because that's the when it goes back to us talking about the quickening. That means to make alive, because you're dead. Without the Holy Spirit, people don't realize that they the walking dead. That it ain't no natural. That's it's a fleshly death. We walking around dead without the Holy Spirit, because we don't have our leader, our guide, our director, our comforter, you know, our teacher. And
you said so much, all you can say was Amen. Thank you so much, Wanda. Anybody else?
The most beautiful part about it, though, Pastor was speaking on it, because we not in this world. We in this world, but we not of this world. And that's the difference with the bloodline change as well. So we don't have to worry about what the people of the world are going through within these systems on top of these systems. And that's really what he tests in our faith, and we have to realize it. And he's been doing it when he's been bringing around COVID and everything else and closing churches, because it ain't about no building. It ain't not about no religion. It's about our faith.
Hallelujah.
She spoke of COVID. I wanted to just kind of say, just warning, they're saying that we should not be buying chicken for a while because it's tainted, and they're saying that the FDA is saying that they're saying nothing right now, so it's something big like COVID.
Yeah, Trump has shut it down.
And Trump shut it down.
Bird flu is out there, and it's moving from birds to animals to people, and it's real, and it's doing some stuff, and Trump won't even let it out there, because he doesn't want his presidency tainted by another, because it'll show too many people he might be the Antichrist.
So they're saying not to buy the chicken for now, you guys. Don't do it.
But also for us to not even walk in fear when it comes to that, because the word, we still have to revert back to the words. He say, well, somebody may serve us poison, but that's why we pray over everything. Everything that we consume and that we bring in our house, believe that our prayers, when you say take out all the sickness and all that, to believe your prayers, because they already been poisoning the food.
Right.
They
this
already been
now,
doing it, but it's been your prayers
you
that's been covered.
And that's true.
Amen.
But
that's
he also
true.
We have faith, but he also gave us wisdom too, you guys. So
amen.
That's
yes.
true, and not
that's
to
true.
Doubt him. That's true. But yes. he also
he
gave
him.
Us wisdom, and if you know
yes.
it's out there, you know not to deal with it, because he's not saying that he's not gonna we're not gonna get it. He'll protect us while we're in it, because he did me with COVID more than once, twice. So, yeah. But still, I've been food poisoned.
Right.
I've been so food poisoned to where one hospital kept sending me home telling me that I had just a stomach virus, whereas the other hospital, on the third time I went, I wasn't going back home. I went to the next hospital, and they told me that if I wasn't there and I didn't get those shots that they gave me more than one, I wouldn't be here the next day. So I was so cramped up and tied up and not. So, yeah, I almost died from it. So, yeah, he just, I mean, yes, prayers are important, and they do work. I got to tell you, because I'm still praying every day. And I'm, some stuff I'm going through right now, he's making a way. I need to share that I'm in my student teaching now, and I've been not getting sleep. So I actually just woke up. That's why I'm kind of here late today. I woke up every day this week and last week at 3 o'clock in the morning, all the way. One day I didn't even sleep until the next midnight. And I was like, so it's been piling up. Today I walked in and I fell out to sleep. And the teacher and the principal of this school, where they're supposed to like welcome people in and show them really good experiences with their student teaching, for some odd reason, they've been getting on me, and I'm like, what? Well, I can't say I don't know what the problem is. My problem, my situation is they say all the student teachers come there. They're there Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to school in, 3 o'clock, 3:30. I'm in a different situation because I care for my dad, and he only have nursing at a certain time, and I can only go at certain times, which is half a day, 4 days a week. They didn't smile on that. They frowned on that. So I've been into the principal office call for conferences more than I have ever been to the principal office, even when I was a student in school, grade school. So they call me. I'm like, even a student starting to look at me like, Ms. D, you keep going to the principal's office. I'm like, oh, my God. Look, yeah. So I tell my supervisor, that's what we call our instructors at the university now. She's my supervisor. I told her, I said, I'm giving up. I said, this week, I said, I don't never give up. And my motto is never give up. I said, but they treated me so rough. I say, I don't even want to be in this school system no more. I told her, I'm out of there. I don't want to do it. And so she told me, no, this week is important. You have to go one more day. I say, look, they wrote me up. They talking about I get one more deposition. I'm out of the program. I say, I graduate May. I'm not going to get another deposition. And then I read her. I read the depositions that they wrote. They got me coming in a week later. I said, nope, they ain't even giving me my hours. I said, I can't sign it. They want me to sign it. I said, I can't sign that. That's illegal. I say, it's not telling the truth. So I will not sign something that's not telling the truth.
And all right.
They was like, all right, well, she was like, just go in. I promise you it's going to be a little different today, you know, and I'm sure you're gonna like it, because I spoke to them, and they told me they was going to work with you. I'm like, they also told me that I was doing good, and all of a sudden I got these write-ups. I was like, so they telling us one thing, but they doing another. I said, I don't appreciate it. It's not great. And so I got there, and I actually taught my lesson. And as I was teaching, I feel like I was much more comfortable. You know, I did what I needed to do. I put my camera. I normally record on my phone because I plan on giving them to my instructors when I'm done so they can see what I was going through. And as I'm going around putting my phone, looking for a spot for my phone to go somewhere, some say, hey, look up there. Go over there and put it on there. So I went to put my phone on there, and I realized it was a black laptop up there. And it was so discreet, you know, discreet. So I was like, oh, I didn't even see this laptop up here. Well, I looked at the screen, and I seen my instructor name on it, Liz. She was videoing the class the whole time. That's why she was so that's why she wanted me in there that day, so, you know, urgently. But I also, when I walked into the room, I felt the warmth in the room. So I already knew something was going on, because the atmosphere was totally different. The principal didn't even pop in one time, and they always pop in, her and the assistant principal. I'm like, this is very interesting. So this time the instructor said, my instructor and the teacher that I'm under, they call them CTs, oh, you did a great job. I really like, she was totally different. I really like the way you did this and that and that. I'm like, wait a minute, something's really wrong. And then when I noticed the camera, I'm like, well, that's what's really wrong. Okay. So, and everything's been much better since then. Yesterday, today, I'm like, God, you're good. God, you're good.
Yeah. All the time. And that was part of, Sister Donna, thank you for that. That was part of what we were talking about tonight. Your spirit is wiser than your carnal self.
Yeah.
Project your spirit up. The next time you get on your knees, don't just pray for them, folks. Project your spirit. Start speaking just like Jesus did when the centurion came to him and said, look, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. But if you'll just speak a word,
speak a word,
will be healed.
I think that's what happened, because that last day I did go. I told God, I said, Lord, you see how they treat me. I said, Lord, I need for you to bless them. I need for you to, whatever they upset about, I need for you to fix it. I say, help them, God, because something is wrong with them.
Hallelujah.
So I prayed for them. I asked them to walk in there before me and switch these things. I said, because I'm out of there. Baby. I said, if they try to write me up one more time, I'm out of there. I'm not signing nothing. And I walked in there, and the Holy Spirit, I know he went before me, because as soon as I walked into the school, the assistant principal was at the door. He checked his time on his watch. I'm like, that's the first. And I kept going and go up the hallway. Everybody, good morning, good morning. I'm like, good morning. This is totally
the atmosphere
different.
Shifted.
Totally
the atmosphere
different.
Shifted.
Totally different.
That is the power of your spirit, family in Christ. Your spirit. Yeah. If you trust your spirit, man, and you call out on the Lord and start speaking over people. See, there's even a vengeance prayer. You can even say, Lord, I need you to be my avenging angel. Send somebody right now in the name of Jesus and go in there and correct the issues. You got a God that can do that. Glory to God.
And he did that for me. That's why he sent that supervisor. And she was sitting there watching the whole class. She texted me before I even got out of class. I didn't even know she was texting me because my phone was put away. When I got home and I started reading those texts, she was like, I am so proud of you. You did a great job. I'm like, what? So it was awesome. God is always good and always on time.
Good God. Amen. Anybody else before we close out in prayer? No? Nobody else? All right. So we're going to close out in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We pray that your people were blessed tonight. We pray that they got a word from you, not from Pastor Monroe, but a word from the spirit realm, because we are spirit beings. You created us in your image, which means we are spirit, as the Bible says, that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We pray that they have received into their spirit a download directly from heaven for their personal usage, so that they'll go out and put the tools and apply the tools and break all the physical rules, to the point that every miracle that they call upon will begin to manifest. Everything that they believe and envision, you will create a provision. Everything that your children desire, especially in this time, this day, and this age, when we have an enemy sitting in the White House, we need to have a clear vision of what you have called us and promised us, and then we need to walk toward that promise, even if it takes 5 months, 5 years, or 50 years. We need to just know that promise is going to manifest itself. We thank you tonight. We pray for every circumstance that's working against your children by the enemy's power. We come against that. We bind it up on earth. It is binded in heaven. We loose right now the spirit of prosperity. We loose right now the spirit of freedom. We loose right now the spirit of confidence. We loose right now the spirit of truth. We loose right now the spirit of wisdom. We loose right now the spirit of Abraham that says that our righteousness is based on our faith. And so we lose that spirit of faith. Believing that your word is the word of life and it is the concretized word that says it is holding down gravity because you are the gravity over our lives. You are going to keep us and we trust you for it tonight. We love you for it. We thank you for our salvation and we thank you that our sin was not imputed unto us. You did not count it against us, but you brought us through a time of trial and tribulation into a time where miracles and revelation can now take place in our life. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Glorify you. We glorify you. What a good God you are. What a marvelous God you are. You know it, but we have to just acknowledge it. You know who you are. We're learning who you are and how great you are. So we thank you for every small miracle because the bigger miracles are still yet to come. We thank you and glorify you tonight. In Yahshua's holy and mighty name, amen. And amen. Love you all with the love of Christ. And I will see you next week, same time, same channel.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.